You're listening to RTI Audio, powered by Rocky Top Insider. This is Pancakes and Bacon with VFL, Kyler Kurbison, and Reed Bacon.
Hello, Vol Nation. Welcome to another episode of Pancakes and Bacon. I'm your host, as always, Kyler Kurbison, joined with Reed Bacon. I got a great pod. We're talking about the orange and white game. Didn't really get to see everybody I wanted to, but still got some young guys in there. Saw some good stuff. We're going to talk about that. We're going to catch up a little bit. Good time. Good pod. First, before we do any of that, let's start it off how we always do. Reed, how we doing, bud?
What's up, Big Sexy? Doing well. I made sure to eat beforehand so I didn't cause any issues. I had kava again.
You sound like a five-year-old. Like, I ate before I came. Like, I did what I was supposed to. I ate before I came.
I ate and I did poo-poo, so I did everything that you would ask a five-year-old to do. And I washed my hands.
Good job, little buddy. Good job.
Yeah. On the way home from getting absolutely jacked at the YMCA, question. I was listening to Sports Animal, and
I said, this is my favorite. I love it when you randomly listen to Sports Animal or randomly watch a YouTube video and you ask me a football question. I revel in it. I love it.
Yeah, so I think it was the Tyler and Will show, but Will wasn't on it. So I think it was their producer, a guy named Riley, who was saying this, or maybe it was someone else. And I'm going to tweet at him after this pod. I just hadn't had a chance to yet. And they were talking about spring games. And they were just like, you're talking about what Ole Miss did. I don't know if you saw what Ole Miss did. I'm guessing you did. If you didn't, Brandon Turner threw a sick dunk down. So that was cool for him. But Ole Miss, like, literally did, like, 7-on-7, a dunk contest, a hot dog eating contest, all this stuff. And, like, 7-on-7 type stuff. So – but anyway, so they're the three guys, Tyler and Riley and the other guy, were going through, like, giving their opinions on spring game. And Riley was like, it's worthless. He's like, the only thing it's good for is the fans. And I just was immediately triggered. I was like, what the fuck are we doing? Like, no way is it worthless. Maybe because you don't enjoy it. And when he said it's only for the fans, if anything, I think it's opposite. Like, and I don't know what necessarily all coaches think. Some coaches probably love having them. Other coaches are like doing what Lane's doing and says, I don't want to get any guys hurt. If I was a coach, I would have my guys playing ball. Unless I was Josh Heupel year one and really, really dire situation that I'd maybe consider. But like, football's football. Like, it's one of, and I'm not going to go on a soapbox of football is going to be dangerous and it's always going to be dangerous. And quit trying to change it. I'm not going to go on one of those tangents. I love the fact that people are trying to be smarter with stuff, but you just can't stop playing. Like, you have to have – and so when he said that, I was like, what a clown show. Like, and I'm not saying him personally. I don't know him. I'm just saying, like, if I was sitting in the room with him and we were just having a debate, which is what sports talks is, I was like, bro, that's stupid. And I was like, well, I'm not going to ask Kyler's opinion before I get on and say this. I want to know your opinion. You're the player that played at Tennessee. But my opinion is I don't care one way or the other. If I'm an Ole Miss fan and Lane Kiffin does that, it's probably not going to bother me. If I'm a Tennessee fan, which I am, and Josh Heupel goes out and has a game, fine with me too. It doesn't – but to talk about this, that spring games are a big issue or a big issue because they're worthless and they're terrible to watch, whatever. Like, it's not about you, newsflash. It's about the players and coaches seeing what they want to see. And I can promise you, it's not worthless because it means a lot to a true freshman who's been on campus for 6 weeks or 2 months, 3 months, whatever. I know that they've already scrimmaged. I can promise you they haven't walked in there and it's not full, but 10,000 people, or you're a rising redshirt sophomore or rising redshirt junior, and this is your chance to show the coaches that it's your turn, all that stuff, it really matters. So for someone to say it's worthless is really, really dumb. And someone to say it's only for the fans is even more dumb, because that's actually who it's not for. But anyways.
No, I'm with you. Worthless is not the right word for it. It is very worthwhile for the younger guys, like you mentioned. I mean, I remember being that guy trying to play more, trying to just show that I could be a good player during my like first 3 years at Tennessee. You know, I didn't start. I was behind Juwan James. So it was like I didn't have a chance at that point, but I was still like, hey, I'm going to prove that I'm the guy who you need to go in right before anybody else. I'm the sixth man. So like, I use the spring as a prove it time. And the spring game is the one opportunity that a lot of guys get to wear the uniform and play in front of people. Like, you don't always get that chance during the season. So here it is, right? Like you mentioned, the guys who just got on campus. I'm also thinking about the second year guys who didn't play, who redshirted. And they're like, hey, this is a fun opportunity for me. I think that coaches should approach the spring game as just another scrimmage. That's exactly how they should look at it. They shouldn't look at it as this is a different kind of scrimmage. This is a, you know, we're doing something totally different for everyone else. It's like, no, you play a scrimmage. You let it play out how you will, because the spring game is one of the 15 allotted practices you get. You only get 15. Are you taking full advantage of that or are you not? Because the way I see Ole Miss's spring game is Lane Kiffin had 14 practices, not 15. Like, he just didn't use his 15th practice. I guess he thinks his team is perfectly fine and they don't need that 15th practice, but I would never think that ever as a coach. You're either getting better or getting worse. There's no like just chilling and staying the same. So we're going out there. We're getting a practice in, even if it's like, hey, we're not. Half line drills, like those kinds of things put together, I would enjoy that as well. Like, that is a good way to go about it.
Yeah, you cut in and out a little bit. It kind of froze. So, and I was about to ask, and this might be what you just said, but the other guy on the radio was like, hey, I would love if they went out and did one-on-one drills in front of everyone, whether it was defensive end and tackle or guard versus three tech or linebackers, running backs. Yeah, I would be fine with that too. Like that's awesome. Like I would enjoy seeing that. And once again, it ties back into it's still practice. And another thing is too, like I don't mind if these guys are going full right now. I mean, you know your guys that you can count on. So let them, if they're dinged up a little bit, that's fine. Let them take a vet day, if you want to call it that. But you're still far enough out from the season that if someone does hamstring, ankle, you know, even like a meniscus, I mean, you can get surgery and be back in a month or so. So it's, you're still far enough out. And it's just one of those things. It's like football is going to be dangerous. And someone could get hurt just as easily doing 7-on-7 with no pads.
Dunking? Are you kidding me? Someone could easily get hurt. My freaking little brother tore his ACL just trying to play basketball his senior year of high school. Like, shit happens way more on like a basketball court with football guys than actually playing the sport. So
yeah, it might not be appealing for some people to just go sit and watch. Don't go watch it. That's all I can tell you. I mean, I don't think they're worthless at all. And other people have talked about bringing in other colleges and doing like, I'm fine with that if they want to do that. But it's not like, I'm not so like, oh, orange and white game, worthless, brutal watch. I get nothing from this. Like, that's not true. I'm still watching some of it while we talk, and I've got a couple pages of notes on stuff that actually stood out to me. So just a little annoying. And
here's the issue that's happening right now is football in college, okay, not talking about pro, football in college started as a sport, like started as like people wanted to play sports outside of high school. It's not, hey, we're making the team so that we can create entertainment for everybody. It was just like, hey, we're playing football. Like, this is what we do. We play football. No one was like, what's the entertainment value out of it, right? Now you're telling me that, like, the practice is controlled by how much entertainment a random person gets with the practice? Like, no. I am practicing to make my team better. I am practicing to make myself better. It's not about the freaking entertainment value, especially in the spring.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed completely. So anyways, just was slightly frustrating to hear that. I'm not, like I said, I'm going to tweet at him and ask him like not to pull this card. But once again, I don't know if he played sports. I don't know if he played collegiately. So there is a different perspective of going out there and knowing like, I need this time to get better. I need these reps. It's also a great time to build confidence. It really, honestly, it is. I mean, you get out there and you can prove to yourself and to your coaches that they can have confidence in you. You can have confidence in yourself. You go make one big play, you go make one good whatever, and everyone gets hype, and then you're kind of known. It's like, all right, Bake, like, I see you, cuz. And then that immediately is like, you get, if an upperclassman says that or someone who's a starter says that, like, yeah, okay, like, let's run it. You know what I mean? Like, all that little stuff can help. So anyways, I'll stop talking. I just went through it. And I told you all I was going to do, instead of breaking down every single play like we do for games, just anything that stood out, anything that caught my eye, whether it was good or bad, I just made a note of it and going to throw it out there. So if you want to go ahead, start hitting with some of the stuff you saw, and we'll go back and forth.
Yeah. Just going through it, like starting off, like it does kind of stink that you don't get to see some of the starters that I wanted to, right? Some of the guys that I just want to see play. And that could be because of injury, just because of resting. But it is very much like I want to see Dylan Sampson out there. I want to see Ethan.
Why? Why?
Because me personally enjoy watching Dylan Sampson's game. And I'm not saying that, like, hey, I don't trust Dylan Sampson to be a good player. I think he is a very good player. It's just like me selfishly, I want to watch football with Cooper at center, Dylan at running back, Spraggs at guard, Carrick at guard, a full starting offense, and watch them dominate. Like, that's what I want to see, as like selfishly, just literally just being like, I like football. I want to see a cohesive offense work together. And now that I watch this, it's like, okay, well, there's five people on this 11-person offense that aren't going to be here in the fall. That's what it makes me feel a little disjointed when I watch it. But it's still just like, okay, here's an opportunity for Vyson Lane, for Dane Davis, for Shemarad to get a little bit of experience, to just practice more, get better at what they're doing. But, you know, just not getting a chance because we kind of had the same thing last week, like didn't really get to see him at practice, where it's like, dang it, like I just want to watch those guys because I know they're good football players. Like that's
I respect where you're coming from and I get it. Like selfishly, like I just want to watch it, but like I know in your heart, you're like, yeah, I don't need to watch them. I don't need to see them. No. I was just talking about how football is a dangerous sport. And it's like, if Dylan's out there playing, great. I'm fine with it. I'm not necessarily worried about – I mean, listen, if Nico's out there playing, and I get it, it's not full contact. But if he's still out there running around doing stuff, then I ain't worried about anyone else on the field, to be honest with you. You know, so it's like, I know you want to see Dylan, but in your heart, you know, it doesn't need to see him. And he needs to be ready for spring ball. I mean, for fall camp and season.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
I'm with you. Yes. In the heart, I know that I don't need to see him.
Okay.
Yeah. But I thought this gave opportunity for a lot of young guys, a lot of second string guys, and some of the things that popped out to me that I noticed right away was on defense. So
yes.
When the quote unquote ones were out there, it was like a short drive to start. And then the twos with Gaston and Jake Merkley were kind of going back and forth at quarterback. They played the most, right? Those teams together played the most. And Reed, we talked about it all offseason. We talked about it last week at the spring practice thing. The linebacker and DB positions are so thin, and we're worried so much about the performance of these positions that I'm watching them, and I see a spark. I see a guy that I was excited about watching his high school tape, but wanted to see, hey, how's this going to transition? And Edwin Spillman just popped off the screen, made multiple tackles, showed great effort on multiple plays, was getting fired up out there, and it was like, okay, here's a linebacker that I like. Here's a linebacker that I see a lot of potential in, that I see as like some hope in that room. It sucks that I don't get to watch Aaron Carter and Keenan Peli and Elijah Herring and those guys that are most likely going to be starting because of what we've talked about. We don't have faith right now, right? We haven't seen Keenan since Virginia game last year. We didn't think Elijah Herring did a very good job while he started last year. We thought he needed some improvement, and we really didn't get to see as much Aaron Carter as we wanted. So those are the positions where it's like, I'm not questioning Dylan Sampson. I'm not questioning Cooper Mays. I got questions on those guys. I want to see them out there. But now we have Edwin Spillman, and he just goes out and balls. He's just a baller.
I don't know if you noticed it. So he had the big hit on, or he had a good pop fill in the gap there with Keith. And Keith is not a small running back, and he stood him up. And then the announcer was like, "Hey, I can hear that pop from here. Great news."
Next play.
Then he's dropping back in pass coverage to the left. It's a pretty open zone to the right. He screams all the way over there, makes a tackle. Yep. And then there's another one where he gets kind of caught in traffic, and Keith kind of starts to bounce away, and he makes a tackle. And when he gets up, he goes like this, kind of like, and I was like, a freshman who's literally been here for three sleeps and one meal, and he's already like talking to someone like, "Yo, where the fuck are you?" And it wasn't because he didn't make, like, it wasn't because he got murked and didn't make the play, and then he wants to blame someone else. No, buddy still made the play, and he's turned around like, "Hey, we're like, that's you. Where are you?" And I'm like, "Damn, that is some. That's low key savage stuff as a freshman who's been there a very short time to be able to turn around and be like, "Yo, where are you?" And I don't know if you saw that.
I did, and it's a testament to, hey, I know the defense. You're supposed to be there.
Right.
Like, and him having more knowledge.
Dude, I was, like I said, I was impressed by the play. And then you just see something like that where he's turned around, like kind of jawing at someone, like, and it was a very much of just like, "Where are you?" Like, "That's you." Yeah. I was like, "Damn." Like,
and I mean, those three plays that you just mentioned show like three different attributes, where like the first play, it's a not afraid of contact. I'm going up, I'm meeting buddy in the hole. Second play is, hey, I got good footwork. I'm able to stop and change direction and go make a tackle in open field. And then the third play, he did a great job of scraping over the top of all of the blocks that were happening. He gets to the running back at a pretty like crappy angle just because of how it worked. And Keith goes for the stiff arm. He knocks it away and still grabs his legs and pulls him down. That's very impressive from a defensive standpoint. To be able to block that stiff arm that fast and still get your arms around his legs to pull him down. And then not to mention the first touchdown that happened. If that is if they're three more yards away from the end zone, Edwin prevents a touchdown. Like, he worked his ass off to get a tackle on that. They ended up scoring. It was the one little hitch to Snead out in the side. He made a guy miss and track to the corner of the end zone. Edwin like came up with the running back and was like there at the line of scrimmage to be like, hey, is it a run? Realized it wasn't, turned and took off and literally almost made the tackle before the touchdown. Probably could have forced a fumble. It was very close. He ended up with the ball after he tackled him. And I was just like, this guy's all over the screen. This guy's everywhere. Yeah. And he's playing his ass off. And for all the people who think that the orange and white game doesn't matter, matters to Edwin Spillman.
Yeah. And the other thing is, too, I was a little worried. Like, we loved how violent he was, and we thought he had good speed. I was just like, I just don't know how that's going to translate. Well, I can promise you, he, like you already said, he popped off speed-wise, and then I think size-wise, he looks fine already. And the dude has literally been there hardly no time, and he already looks good. So, size-wise, so he's definitely one of them. I don't want to get in this bing for bang on players and players. I do kind of want to work through the kind of chronological of the game and then kind of hit on some of those. But let me just say this. I thought it was hilarious. First play of the game, and they're blitzing T-Lander, and then the other backer comes because Deshaun Bishop stays in the block, and I'm like, orange and white game, brilliant. I was like, okay, like here we are. And I don't know if you noticed this, but a lot of the times, like they were still playing their normal D, and Tennessee was still running a lot of their normal offense. They would still send the guys in motion and run the out route and the slant slash post. They would run the fake wheel. It's still very much. I mean, it wasn't rush four, drop everyone in coverage, or rush four, read and react. Like they were coming. Like and so I was cracking up because you don't see that. And then on 3rd and 14, we show a double A gap blitz, man outside, and I thought it was good on good. I thought it was a good pocket, good throw, good pitch and catch, good coverage and tackle. And like sometimes you're gonna see that. Like yeah, you maybe wish that the throw to Dante would be like at the sticks. I think it was to Dante would be at the sticks and he gets the first. But then you're like, well, no, like you're pumped to see the defense bow up and make the stop. So it was kind of that back and forth. I mean, because the team's the same thing. So it's kind of that good on good. And then you go to the white comes the offense. I thought good block by Chris Brazel on the outside. But here he is, a guy that I openly – will openly admit that I was like slightly nervous about for some of the stuff that we had heard from people down that Chattanooga area that like, yo, Boo could be a diva. Like he might be all about the money. He could be a headache. He could be a problem. So for me, I was like, I even said it. I was like, yo, I don't, and we didn't see anything defensively from him. I mean, everything was offensively. I mean, you could see he could run away from people and he's a good skilled athlete, but I'm like, yo, I don't know how this is going to go a defense. I was like, I even said, I wouldn't be surprised if he's a guy that comes on campus and gets a lot of hype, gets pissed off and like leaves and ends up in the transfer portal a couple times. But from what I see on a very, very, very small short sample is the dude is out there like giving effort and playing hard and trying to make a difference. And sometimes you don't get that with someone who might be a little bit of a prima donna or mad or gets in their own feelings. And so I'm like, and the only reason he popped off to me is because they throw a little out route to Snead. He starts breaking people off. And then you see someone kind of screaming in and make the tackle. And I'm like, okay, who was that? Rewind. And I see that it was Boo coming off of a nickel blitz. He goes through the blitz, and he's engaged with the tackle or the running back or the tight end, whoever was blocking him, when the pass is made. And he jets back out there. Now, I don't want to talk negatively about a lot of guys, but then, like, I think it was 39, so I think it was Jalen Smith, linebacker I really liked coming out of high school watching his film, but he's been there a little bit, and he runs out there. He doesn't look like he's getting out there very fast. Then he gets out there. He doesn't break down, and it's a very easy inside step move, and he gets beat. But then that's like – so it's like that's the bad, but then him missing that tackle and not being the first – like not screaming his ass off out there to make the tackle, that's where you see Boone. It's like little stuff like that is like what coaches are going to see. And exactly. So that's where you can make a difference. So anyways, I'll stop. I don't know if you have anything to say on that. I was going to continue working through some stuff.
No, I wrote that down as well. I literally was like, he goes on a blitz and changes. That people assumed Boo didn't want, like, does not like defense. That he wants to be offense. I saw, you know, when I watched his film, was like, this guy's a really good offensive player. I wonder if he would play offense. he is just like, if I'm going to play defense, I'm going to play defense the best that I can, right? I'm going to go out there and be a dog. And that's what he tried to do. There's a play later on where he comes on a blitz on like a third down and makes the sack and makes the tackle in the backfield. They hand it off the running back. And it's just like, I'm going to give full effort to whatever position I'm put in, whether that be defense, offense, special teams, doesn't matter. I'm just going to take advantage of what I have. And if you have that kind of mindset, you can play for me. Like, love it. Absolutely love it.
Yeah, and maybe people are going to watch this and be like, hey, we tried to tell you guys, like, we knew he was a player. I mean, listen, his story is far from over, but it is nice that you see that very, very quickly, because I was worried that maybe he wouldn't pick up the team that quick, or maybe he wouldn't be all in. But like you said, if it's like, okay, I'm going to play D, the effort is like, wow, okay, great. And then even the tackle for loss you're talking about, and he got up and got fired up. I'm like, okay. Like, I love to see that. He's invested. He is excited. Yep. He's fired up.
It's a great word.
And I know we sound like we're kind of making a big deal out of nothing, but, like, I know you've seen it a ton. I know I've seen it some where these guys are so gifted and they just, whatever reason, it's like mentally there's a block and they don't want to put the effort in, or they don't care, or they think they're getting screwed over or whatever. But, I mean, I leave from watching this, like, very excited about him. Not to say he's going to play this year. Not to say that he wouldn't, because I think physically he already looks pretty good. I mean, when you can see him in his pads and stuff out here, and I always like seeing in the game pads because it looks different than practice. Like, they, like, these guys look bigger in their game stuff on TV. It's easier for me. There's times I can walk by someone in the training bit and in the, like, you know, on the practice field, I'm like, okay, yeah. But then you see him on TV in their stuff, and it's like, okay.
Speaking of, I thought Nico looked pretty damn good. Like, I know that people are worried about his, like, being so thin, right? That, hey, he could get snapped like a twig. Like, that was the connotation when he first came in. Year under his belt, year in some change, and he looks good. Like, I thought he, like, had a good build just watching him out there. I wasn't so nervous about him getting hit.
Yeah, I wasn't really nervous about it because we saw him in practice in person. Anyways, continue walking through here. Second and six. It's a high throw, and it's Mike Matthews on Jordan Matthews. Matthews on Matthews. The ball's a little high, but I loved seeing Jordan sit on it, break on it, play through the ball, play through the route. It up, get him a little, hey, I got him strapped up. Like, okay, like, don't let this young fella come in and get at you. So show a little bit of that.
I thought he did a good job with his hands when a ball would get close. Like, I thought he did a good job of, like, getting a hand up, batting an arm, grabbing it, just doing something to try and defend it.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of meaning by, like, I liked his like, playing through it. Play through it. Don't just come behind him and try to hit him in the back. Like, if you can play a ball and knock the hands, go for it. Third six, it was the free play, but once again, it's Matthews on Matthews. And I thought it was really good cover by Jordan Matthews, but then you see just that little bit of that extra tick from Mike Matthews to kind of pull away at the end. Maybe Jordan pulled off a little bit because he knew that it was overthrown or whatever, but it was that free play. And I was like, all right, I like seeing this. Like, that's that spring, hey, I don't want to see Mike Matthews necessarily run by him. I don't want to see Jordan Matthews necessarily just lock Buddy up. These are two high-caliber guys. I want to see him going back. So I like seeing that. We just talked about Spillman, so I won't go through that again. But it was
–
you know, and then number 12, the transfer. I'm sorry, I will remember 12.
McMurray.
Yeah, McMurray, good D on Chris Brazel. Once again, it's another new guy, kind of good.
I liked that, like, competition between Jordan Matthews, Mike Matthews were going against each other all day. Brazel and McMurray were going against each other all day. And it's like, y'all been doing it in practice. Now here you go, doing it again. And can you make the other one better? Like, I remember one of the practices we went to 2 years ago, maybe even three, when Byron Young had just got there, and all we had seen of him was practice tape from a JUCO. And I was like, I love this guy. I love his effort. I love everything about him. And I went over on the defensive side and I was like, hey, can you do me a favor? He was like, sure, like confused. And I was like, can you make Darnell Wright and Cade Mays the best tackles that you can possibly make them? Like, can you go out there and don't give them easy plays? Make their lives difficult when you're practicing against them, because that's the only way they're going to get better. And he was like, yeah, I'll do that. Team comes. It's the next fucking thing. He goes in there, just swoops Darnell's hands away and makes a tackle in the backfield. I'm like, exactly. Thank you. Because Darnell shouldn't have let you do that to him. And it was like that kind of competition between guys. If you take that and say, listen, I want him to go full bore against me so I get better, and I'm going to go full bore against him so he gets better. Like that is what makes the biggest difference on a team.
Are you telling me you're the reason that Darnell Wright went top 10?
No. No. I'm telling you, Darnell's mom and daddy. Are you
telling me that you're the reason that Byron Young had such a good rookie season and was awesome for the Rams? If you want Rodney Garner or Glenn Ellenby's job, just go ask Heupel, bro. I mean, Scott will hire you as a GA. I mean, it's just embarrassing you on here taking this credit like this, bro. All right. Hey, I just got to the play. I hate seeing that missed tackle. Nice little move by Snead, but I hate seeing that missed tackle from whoever that DB was. But you were right, bro. Edwin Spillman is moving. That's how a backer's supposed to look.
That's what I thought. I'm like, look at that speed. I haven't seen that in a little bit.
No, we haven't. It's unfortunately, it had been a little minute for us. Anyways, continuing to work through. Fourth and two cracked me up again. This is where you're talking about Boot Carter comes in and like takes some ACLs out. So Boo comes and Will Brooks, the safety, come. They both meet in the backfield. And it's like, hey, this is a frustration that I had. I know they said Heupel wasn't calling the offense, so I guess he let D coordinator and offense coordinator kind of go at it. I don't know what he told them, so I'm not going to say, hey, stupid play call here on offense. But it's like, it's fourth and two, and this is some of my frustration I would get is, as Tennessee, a lot of teams kind of get on that beat, and a lot of times we'll go quick and we'll try to hand it off fourth and two and try to block it with five or six, and they'll bring seven or six or seven, and it's just very difficult. And so I was like, A, kind of annoys me on offense that it was just like, what are we doing? But yeah. I get it's a spring game, but then it was funny on defense. I loved it. Fourth and two, man up everywhere, bring the outside guys and a safety. I mean, so I don't know. That just kind of stood out to me that they were kind of going back.
It's fun too in these games because the offensive defense has been playing against each other for 14 practices, and offensive defensive coordinators have been playing against each other for 14 practices, and they start to like, oh, I know he's about to try and run a freaking draw on me right now. I'm not letting it happen. I'm running twist games up front. Oh, I know he's running a blitz right now. I'm about to throw a slant right across the middle where he's sending those linebackers. Like, there's that little bit of gamesmanship between the coordinators because they get so used to each other that they're like, oh, I know what he's about to do. And I think that's like one of those areas where it was like fourth and two, and they're like, oh yeah, just hurry up, get to the line. We're going to run counter. And the coordinator is just like, send everyone. They're running counter. Send eight. You're going to make the tackle.
I think that was 26, so I think that might be Idris Farouk. So he came down well. I would have liked to have seen that tackle. I will say Jake Merklinger comes in. I'm continuing to work through the game a little bit. Jake Merklinger comes in, absolutely rips it on that slant, and it was a great placement. Then you're coming down. I love Ricky Tan. Ricky Gibson's break and tackle on the third and seven. This is like that's starting football. You got Nico in there. He's throwing to Chris Brazel. It's a third and seven. Chris gets basically to the first down marker, comes back, works his way to the ball. So now he's got to get 1 or 2 yards, get the first. And Ricky's just kind of backpedal, sees it, shoots his gun. And the thing that I loved is he comes up fast while under control. And then instead of getting there and then breaking down and letting Chris make a move, he comes up kind of slow. He's under control, but it's fast. And then he gets there, and it's kind of like that breakdown into the tackle instead of breakdown, wait, and then tackle. If that makes sense, it's a very fine thing to do. I know personally it was something that I would kind of mess with me, and it was kind of like, you know, I just – when I thought it wasn't good, but when I just played naturally, it was much better, which is the case for a lot of people. But coaches are like, break down, see which way he goes. It's like, hey, come in under control, chop your feet a little bit. And what I mean by break down, don't break down and stop, but like chop your feet a little bit and then just make the tackle. Like get the guy on the ground. You don't have to sit and wait on him. And that's what I love to see. Because there's so many times where we would see a guy's come up, break down, and then whether it's an inferior athlete or a better athlete would just make one move and go the other way and get another 5, 6, 7 yards before that guy could chase down and make the tackle. So that's good on good. Like he's not doing that on some low-level wide receiver. I mean, Chris is supposed to be one of our better players this year. I just loved it. I thought it looked so smooth, natural, and effortless for Ricky.
Yeah. No, I agree. I love to see that. I love to see the breakdown as a tackle instead of breakdown before and then get juked. And then,
right.
Like, you know, you don't want to see that. I thought Jake had some good throws. I thought it was his touchdown was hilarious. Like, that buddy got tackled 3 times on his way to score that touchdown. The defense was like looking up like, what are we doing? What are we doing here?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Obviously, right. We tackled him. I thought Bishop did a good job out there. You know, I raved about him at practice, and I thought there were times where like they ran a counter. He was super patient when they were backed up on one of the end zones and was like super patient, then had really good leg drive. I thought he did a good job of meeting guys in the hole, blitzers that were coming on pass pro. I just, you know, the one play where Nico's in there and they run the quick hitches on like a 3rd and short and catch the defense off guard. And Bishop makes a guy miss, starts going downfield. Like, he is like, I like him at running back. I do. I think this guy has played himself into the second team running back as we move forward. And we're going to see a lot of him during the season. But that play I was just mentioning with the quick hitches, how about big Amari Thomas? I mean, working his ass off, makes a tackle 30 yards downfield on Bishop. I was like, he didn't have to do that. We just talked about at the beginning of the podcast. We know what certain guys are. We know who they are. We don't need to see it out of them. And Big O still goes, I'm playing football. I'm out here playing football. That's what's happening. I'm not just going to pussyfoot around it. So I absolutely love seeing that out of Mari.
You know what football players like to do?
Play football.
Yeah. It's what they like to do. I mean, we don't – you and I love football. Love it. I didn't necessarily love practice. There was some practice that was fun. It got better usually as you got older and you got more solidified, but it's still tough work. But – if there was enough crazy 30-year-olds here in Knox who are like, hey, we're going to go play tackle football this weekend, be really stupid, but I can promise you I'd probably give it a real hard thought to probably go do it, and then I'd probably go do it and probably regret it because I couldn't walk. But, like, football players love football, and I love that a guy like Omari, who's been around the program, who's so vital and so important, is like, yeah, let's go run it, baby. This is what we do. Like, I'm going to go play. There was a reason that when I was at the Georgia game and ran into some people that would know what they're talking about, and they're like, Amari's one of the most important people I'm bringing back next year, a.k.a. financially. I was like, yeah, I see why, because not only is he a really good player, but he's also just a great, great piece to the team, and that means everything. Yeah. So, yeah.
No, I mean, he's a leader for the defense for sure.
Yeah, so I wanted to make some other stuff as I walk through here. I thought Gaston Moore had some good throws. Charlie Browder, another, like a tight end. So I had you know, number 87 that I talked about seeing at practice, Miles Kilsman. I think he looks like a good athlete. And I mentioned Charlie Browder, and it's like, Charlie's coming out here, and dude's 7 feet tall. I mean, a legit, I'm joking, but a legit 6'7", 6'8", or whatever. And dude is smooth for that size. I mean, yeah. In my opinion, he looks smooth. He looks good. And poor Christian Harrison, there's nothing that he could do. There's nothing. He had good coverage. There's nothing you can do to come through unless you're going to get a penalty when they run a three-step slant and it's a good throw and Browder's pitch and catch because he is 6'7" and 240 or 50 pounds. But besides, besides being big, like, he looks smooth, good hands. And I'm like, I love seeing that. I just, you know how I felt about tight end. So it's like, okay, at least I know he can do it there. You know, I'm not saying he's going to go do it against Alabama, but it still made me feel good seeing it. And then Jordan Matthews, Kamore lockups where he's just playing really, really good coverage. And I love seeing that. I just, that does my heart good seeing him do that.
Yeah, I would agree. Just a couple things right before the halftime, you get the speed as they continue to go down the field sets up the little seam pass to Chase Nimrod, which is like great throw and catch. You know, I see it get set up. I'm like, all right, he ran a good route. He was able to get past the guy. Nico saw him, hit him. It wasn't like an overcomplicated play, which is some of the best plays in our offense. And by God, if it was just a ball that a wide receiver could catch. Like, it wasn't short. It wasn't overthrown. It wasn't too hard. It wasn't too soft. It was just a catchable ball. Here you go. Make the play. And, man, that was good to see.
What are you inferring?
I don't know. I'm not, you know, throwing anybody under the bus. But, yeah, I got my license recently. So, but.
Yeah, it was nice to see. I saw it. As a matter of fact, I saw the clip, I think, on the Rocky Top Insider, like, I guess it was Twitter. And I was like, there he is. Just Mr. A little bit of everything, a little do it all. You know what I mean? It's like you want to talk Squirrel, you want to talk Dante, you want to talk Chris, you want to talk freshman. But it's like, I'm telling you, Chaz is going to pop up at random times. He's like the most not flashy guy in the world, but he's going to just make some plays when you need it. So, and I hope he continues to take that step that we talked about on the other pod. So.
Yeah, and then you got Mike Matthews' touchdown on Jordan right before the half. They never really showed an angle where I could tell how it happened. It was just like randomly, oh, here's Mike Matthews. He's open. I'm like, how did he get open? I want to watch him like actually going against Jordan. But, you know, good and bad. Like to see Mike Matthews. Hate to see it versus Jordan. So a little bit of both. But I think they both played well today.
What'd you think about Mike's size, speed, how he looked? I mean, dude is, you know, once again, he's been here a couple weeks.
No, I mean, I thought he looked good. You had mentioned it earlier. There was another opportunity to throw a deep ball to him. They missed on. It was like a, you know, illegal, you know, offsides. So it was a free play. And then you see him here, makes a hand catch. Make sure he gets to the end zone. It did look like Jordan was kind of gaining on him. So I'm not exactly sure like his top end speed, what it is. But he also like blocked pretty well on Snead's touchdown, the first touchdown. Like he was the guy blocking out on the perimeter. So it's like, hey, that's a huge part of this offense. If you can get that down, you're going to be in a good, pretty good spot. Even if you're not getting the ball a lot, like you'll get on the field a lot. So, you know, I thought he had a good performance, definitely. Like, I'm not coming away from it being like, oh, gosh, Mike Matthews, we don't have anything there. Like,
No, I'm not. I was saying it more in the other way. Like, are you, like, pooping your pants? Like, yeah, this guy's going to be an absolute stud. Or you're just like, yeah, I liked what I saw. You there?
There we go. I'm here.
Freeze a little bit.
I froze. The Wi-Fi is still very bad. The last time I pooped my pants after seeing a Tennessee wide receiver was Cordell Patterson. So, no,
it's hard for you.
I'm not pooping my pants yet.
It's hard for you to dookie after saying that.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, all right, like, okay, you got a touchdown. Like, that's good. Like, have you seen this guy before? He's a freak.
No. I could catch him. He's the fastest kid alive.
Seriously, that's every defense we played that year. I couldn't catch him. He's the fastest kid alive.
If you guys don't know what we're talking about super bad. And
Seth Rogen? No.
Yeah, Seth Rogen's I was going to say Seth Rogen and the other Seth Rogen's chasing what's his name?
Michael Cera.
Michael Cera, that's it. Such a funny movie. But I'm still working through some of it over here, so I don't know what other stuff that you want to hit on or
at halftime they did a little like coaches thing on the running backs and linebacker coach. I really like William Engle, who's the linebacker coach from Washington. Just like his little segment where they talked about him and the kind of things that he was reiterating a lot, I was like, I would be down with this guy. This guy could get good product out of me. I like the way he approaches stuff. Like, you know, he's talking about accountability a lot. He is talking about, hey, I want these guys to smile and have a good time while they're playing football because shit gets tough sometimes. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, especially during camp in the fall, and you're just like, I really am not enjoying this anymore. And it's like, hey, you still get to play this beautiful sport. Like, enjoy it while you can because you don't know when it's going to be gone. And like they show him out there and he's just randomly throwing punches at his linebackers, like just throwing hands out in front of them to their chest to be like, I need you to naturally react of knocking these hands down when I'm throwing them at you.
We love that.
Love it. They're like going through warm-up lines and they're just going back and forth and he's like walking and then all of a sudden he'll just throw his hands up in front of them. And it's like expecting them to knock him down. And it showed like Jalen Smith was like finishing out his little 10, 15 yard, like, I don't know, quad stretch or whatever, warm up. And he stuck his hands out and Jalen didn't hit him away. He just like kept going past him. And then Engle went up to him and was like, hey, and did it again. And then Jalen's like, little swim move. I'm like, dude, just that little thing of a coach. It makes such like a little psychological difference in them. Like, hey, always on your toes, always ready to knock that stuff away. I need it to be your, you know, not, oh, this is what I need to do in this scenario. It needs to just be like a habit. Your body just naturally acts to it.
Yeah, second nature. Yeah. So that's kind of like when the running back would always be carrying a ball around, like around school or whatever, and the coach is like, hey, if anyone knocks it out of your hands, like, you know, it's on you or you got gassers or whatever. So it's that second nature thing. It's funny that you bring him up as a coach because I was talking with somebody who worked with him at Indiana. It was like, hey, the guy's a good coach, knows ball, and he's like actually really good at connecting. But he's like super weird, like kind of a super weird personality, kind of super different. So I was like, okay, I'll take note of that. And then I watched, maybe it was the Orange. What's that pod that Tennessee puts out? Like, or those juice. Little things, the juice. Yeah, big orange juice. I know who they stole that from. So it was watching him in the meeting room with T-Lander was kind of also being talked about, but I was watching, I was like, I could see where he's a little bit goofier and a little bit different than a normal coach, but like, I kind of liked it too, in a way.
Yeah.
As long as you can connect, I don't care how you do it, but it was good to see, because of the things that I've heard with someone who had worked for him, who's like, hey, good coach, knows ball, but, you know, pretty good recruiter, because he does connect with these guys, but it's just weird. Like, you wouldn't expect it because he's kind of a goofier, different guy. But, hey, sometimes we appreciate just someone who's going to be real and not MF us all the time, you know? So
exactly.
I did rewatch this, the Chaz Nimrod, and I'm glad I rewatched it, because it was a point that I wanted to bring up after seeing it on the highlight page. It was against Jordan Thomas, and I really like Jordan, and I think Jordan should potentially, I think it's his job to lose in there at the nickel because of his size and stuff, but if there are times where we do go man coverage and he has to play a man like a Wesley Walker, a Theo Jackson, a Tamarian McDonald, like whoever else, like you can't get necessarily smoked. And it was a very much, he was about 5 or 6 yards and he let Chaz break his cushion. And Chaz,
I kind of felt like he was a little like asleep at the wheel.
Yes. It was almost as if, and that's what Heupel's offense does, which is so beautiful, is like slant, slant, block, 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 out route, and then all of a sudden, you as a DB, you get a little tired, you let a guy break your cushion, and he stabs in like he's going in, and then swims around you, and it was like, I mean, he cooked Jordan, and so it's like another thing, it's like, hey, good, I'm glad to see it, but it does make me a little bit nervous, because that potentially could be our starting yeah. star position. So, you know, just little stuff like that that's good and bad.
Yeah, after halftime, seeing Brazzle get past Jalen McMurray, like, you know, deep ball to him, thought that was just good to see out of Brazzle. You know, Jalen is kind of, I don't know, he's still up in the air on, like, whether he'll play or not. And then watching Caleb Webb break some tackles towards the end, loved to see that, loved his effort. Same thing with that Snead kid. Like, I think, I don't know who he is, but he puts effort. He tries. Here's our little Wes Welker trying to get on the team, trying to make a name for himself. I like it. And then they throw out the stat of quarterbacks with 3,000 plus yards in the last 70 years before Heupel. There was 5, and he's had it all 3 years he's been here. Literally the last 70 years before he got there, there was 5 at Tennessee, and his first 3 years he had 3 in a row. And yeah, it's just wild, the difference.
Yeah, he's good. Let me ask you this, and we'll kind of wrap this up here pretty quick, unless you got some other stuff you want to hit on, which is fine with me. But I know it's tough to see. Because of the angle, the TV angle, it's pretty far out. They don't do a ton of replays. Did you see anything offensively or defensively on the offense or defensive line that maybe stood out or anything like that? Like I said, I know we've mentioned that bunch of dudes maybe are not playing, but anyways, just curious if anything stuck out like that to you.
Nothing crazy stuck out to me. I did like the fact that John Campbell was playing. So like both starting tackles were out there. So it was like, at least good to see that. I saw some good pulls from both of them. That was another thing of like Lance, like he's new to this, but he's very athletic. And it's like, hey, you are going to be pulling a lot. We pull our tackles to lead for our running backs. So that was good to see out of them. Some mundane kind of play calling, and I thought it was fine. I thought there were some good pockets, but then, you know, I also thought that, like, you know, Eason beating Dane Davis at guard, I'm not like,
yeah,
damn it, Dane, or like, great job, Eason, because I'm like, Eason, guess what? You're going to have to beat an All-American who's at Georgia. You know what I mean? Like, you better beat Dane Davis. And that's not – I'm not shitting on Dane, but I'm just like, there's levels. Like, I'm not trying to, like, you know, it's just like, great. That was – yes, we got better on a play because we put in some effort and practiced our technique. But, like, this you know, it's not quite the same. Now, if he did it versus Spraggs, then I'd be like, okay, different story, which is the only reason that I sit there and go, I wish those guys could play right now,
well,
selfishly, because that's what I want to see.
Well, you know, Dane's played a lot of ball for us. He's still going to be there. And at some point this upcoming season, we're going to see him, whether it's injuries or whatnot.
Yeah.
But I, that stuff like that doesn't necessarily worry me, because, like, I know Bryson Easton's a good player. So
yeah,
I know what you mean. There is levels of this, but that's what I expect him to do to Dane Davis.
Exactly.
So I've been watching this. I've been watching the Mike Matthews one again, and it is hard to tell. I honestly think it may be because they brought the inside guy on a post, like a skinny post. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, based on how he threw this and kind of the route, that Mike was about to take it in for a very, very skinny post. So it's like inside slots going like this, and then he's going to kind of be bringing like this, and Gaston sees it and kind of throws him outside. And he adjusts to it, makes it look really easy and effortless. So, I watched it a couple times to try to see what I could see. But
maybe it was just on the fly.
Yeah, I actually like the 89, too, on Mike. I think it looks kind of good, which
– I was surprised by it at first when I first saw it.
Like, I was, just too.
Online, but I do think it looks good, too.
I think it looks pretty smooth on him. So, anyways, that's it for me. Like I said, there was stuff that I saw – from positions that I was, you know, is Edwards Filmer going to play? I don't know, but it was awesome to see a young guy pop off like that. I was happy to see my two guys with Jordan and Ricky out there making plays. It's nice to see Mike Matthews catching a deep ball. I liked what I saw from some of the tight ends, even if it's just them running routes and catching some balls that they should catch. Not to sound bad, but like, not to say that they couldn't go and do that, but, like, I just needed anything from them. I mean, I'm looking for anything that makes them like, okay, yeah, that looks good. That looks clean. Yeah. That looks smooth. So, anyways, I was happy with it. Like, I liked from different stuff that I saw and different flashes. So, I was a little bit
of confidence in some of those guys.
Yeah, it was nice. So, I don't know what your overall thoughts were, but I liked it.
Yeah, no, I liked it. I thought it was good to see some of those younger guys pop off the screen. You know, like we talked about, I thought it's a good chance for some of the guys who might not get that much playing time moving forward to go out there and show what they could do. And, just opens the door for competition. It's like, hey, the last time someone saw you on the football field, this is what you did. Now we're going into fall camp. All right, we're all competing. We're all getting after it together. Who's going to come out on top in the tight end room? Who's going to come out on top in the running back room? Line, you know, linebacker. Like, everyone should have competition between each other, have competition between everyone else. Like, it's just, you know, breeding that is always helpful in a program when you can get young guys to start truly understanding what's going on, truly understanding the offense, the defense, whatever that might be. So then when it is fall camp, it's not, hey, you're obviously going to start because you're older and know the offense or older and know the defense. No, I got a guy who's more athletic than you, who's faster than you, and puts in more effort behind you. And he's about 80% on the defense. So I think I'm going to throw him in there. Like,
Competition and depth are always going to be a good thing. Always.
Yeah, it's beautiful. All right, brother.
See you, man. Talk with you tomorrow.
All right. Thank you guys so much for watching and listening. If you are watching, please like, subscribe, hit the notification bell, and leave a comment. Love the comments. If you're just listening, rate and review, download and re-download, and follow us on all those listening platforms. Also follow us on social media at Pancakes and Bacon on Twitter, at Pancakes and Bacon _RTI on Instagram. And then if you want to follow Reed, it's just at RBacon26 for him, and then at Kyler Kurbison for myself on all social medias. So check me out there. Really appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for just being great fans. And as always, go Vols.